accession number 20943, reel 4.
Ivor Nutting, reel 4. You were going to connect this, I think, with the chap who wanted you to desert.
Yes.
Can you tell me what happened, please?
Well, I went on, after this, they asked for volunteers, and I went on to the prisoner of war place.
But what did the man say to you when he wanted to desert?
Well, come with me.
What did he have to desert with?
He had a three-tonner concealed. How the hell he done that, I don't know. He had medical supplies, he told me. He had money, and he also got tin stuff, a bully and stuff like that. So I have no idea what happened to him.
Where did he intend to go to?
Kenya.
But you don't know what happened to him?
No.
Why did you not go with him?
I don't know if I've told you this. I got married in April the 6th, 1940. My wife and I had planned this before I went in the army. He was going to get married on April the 6th. And, of course, I got called up and all the rest of it. And I had 4 days' leave, and I was at Chichester. And I had 4 days' leave, and I come through this station here to a place called Lumbraddock, which is near Caerphilly, where my wife lived, her home. She worked in a school where I lived, actually. But anyway, so we got married on April the 6th. I had a day's travelling coming up, 2 days with my wife, and a day coming back to Chichester. So that was that. I then had, I think it was early August or just before July, I think, I had another 4 days for embarkation leave, where I went back to Lumbraddock and got on a boat at Lime Street. No, went to Lime Street Station and got on a boat to Liverpool, the way I was gone then. And that was, so I was gone for, I think it was 4 years and 8 months without seeing my wife.
So that was why you didn't want to desert?
Desert, oh yeah. And my grandmother, the most fantastic person, who left school when she was 12, had her education or so, you know, and she could tell you how to spell a word, definition of it, everything. And she was a fantastic person.
Can we go back to Italy? Because I think after Cassino, one of the next places you went to was San Marino. Can you tell me what happened
there,
please?
Oh, well, on our way up to San Marino, and the only thing that I can remember is I had a lovely motorbike because I was doing Don R work. Because with this infantry signaller, you did Don R work, exchange, Morse, you had to do the lot. I used to read Morse after I finished at this place in, when I went back to the unit. 2.5 hours of Morse, you had to read from, Reuter. It started off slow. 2.5 hours, I used to have to take it down. You have about 6 pencils sharpened either side and read Morse. This is the news, you know, from what's known. So that was that. Now,
you were going to tell me about San Marino.
Oh yeah, San Marino. We got up to San Marino, and one day I was duty'd on R, and the CO said, "Right, duty'd on R, sharp my bike up." And a bloke from Hampshire and filled my boycott with a lot of octane spirit, you know. I know whether I like it, I don't know about it. Anyway, it was all spewing out the tank, come on my legs. And we were going up to San Marino, and the old bike backfired, and I was like, and that was it. Pulled down my trousers, survived, bike burnt out, that was that. Then what happened was, they from San Marino, we had, prior to that, we had a lot of blokes deserting on the way up, by the way. Hell of a lot of people. Did I tell you in Cyprus we had people desert?
No.
Yeah, we had people desert. They went over to Turkey because you could see the houses. They said, we've had enough. The Turks brought them back. Where were we now?
You were at San Marino doing... Were you burnt when the motorbike...
I wasn't burnt, but the motorbike was burnt out, the trousers were burnt out, and the MT bloke said, I hope you've got loads of credit, because it's going to cost you a packet. But it didn't. But I had another bike out, where's an order to it. But trouble has been a dispatch rider as well. You go to a place, brigade, they wait for you to come back. Then you've got to get weaving. And with this bike I had was a matchless and it had a high sump. So I could, what's your name? Later I had a BSA with a low sump and you'd hit a rock and that was your lot, you know, all that. Still. I always remember driving through Rome, leading a convoy. Two of us leading a convoy through Rome, past the Colosseum. You know, these are little things in my mind. And driving through there, they used to say, speed 50 miles an hour. And you drive your bike through 50 miles an hour. And the people at the back used to be another donor at the back. As soon as you stopped after 2 hours, they had to go back to see whether all the... And it used to be hell trying to catch up again. Anyway, that was. Anyway, after San Marino, we came back to Taranto. And what happened at Taranto was, we were there a couple of days. It's the same place as we landed, actually. And they was off to.
Greece?
The Albanian. Anyway, what happened was, I think of a minute, when we was there, we decided to go into Taranto this particular night, went through the, because we was in an olive grove, and came down through the olive grove and turned right, and there was a short wall, and one of our Indian blokes came down there, and it hit my shoulder, knocked me across the wall, but trapped this foot.
Is this a road accident?
Yeah. So, my mates left me for a while, and the next thing I know, I was in the middle of the road, and I looked up, and I could see metal above me, and it was Red Caps in a jeep, and they put me in a field hospital opposite. And what my mates afterwards said, they came back and they said, you don't want to stay in here, do you not? I said, no. So they picked me up and took me back to my unit. But they put me in a tent and I was there for over a day with all this lot.
What injuries did you have?
Yeah. And our MO, he was a Scotch bloke and he was always... drunk. Always drunk. You can't blame him, I suppose. But anyway, this provost sergeant said, oh, you can't have this. So they took me into Taranto Hospital. And I was in there for quite a while. And meanwhile, my unit had gone to Salonika. Salonika. Because there was trouble out there. Right? So, after my leg was, you know, it was quite a few experiences in this hospital, but after it was done, I went up to Naples, and from there I was sent home, and we put on a ship. I met up with a load of my own comrades and all the rest of it, and we got on a boat at Naples, walking over bombed Red Cross boats and things like that. And we went back and we went to Malta. There the American Navy said, "You'll be all right, kids. You got the Americans looking after you," and all that. Anyway, we came home and met a terrible storm, and apparently on board was 15 Canadian murderers. And they had to be battened down, so they had to look after them. But and we was on a list, and the convoy deserted us, and we was on our own. And eventually we got back into Liverpool, but prior to that, I always used to sleep on deck. And this particular morning, I was going to go on deck, picked up the hammock, because you always give them hammocks, whether you slept on deck or what. And going back, I saw lights on the boat. I thought, "Oh, this is terrible." I went and had a look, and some bloke had been murdered. He had been murdered because he shot through the head, and there was two marks of a bullet going through his head on the edge of the panel of the ship. So that was that. When we got back into Liverpool, we was left there for about 3 days before they tried to solve the problem, and they never solved it. So that was that. And so I went back to a place called Clacton, where I left before I departed. I was there, and then given my leave home, and then I went back, and then I went to a place called back to Clacton, and then eventually to a place called Bacton, which is in Norfolk, where the oil thing is now. It's about 20 miles outside of Norwich, and that's where I finished most of my time. And going back to the chap we was talking about, I used to go with one of the blokes I know who's the MT. He said, "Come with me, Nat," because he used to go to a place called North Walsham and pick the people who have been on leave. And he said, "We've got a little petrol job here." So we used to take a load of petrol to a farm and then go on and pick up the blokes. And that was that. And then afterwards, when the time came, you know, getting near time, I'll come back, I went to a place called Amersham. No, Amersham.
You mean for De Mob?
Yeah, for De Mob. That was it. Oh God, that was me.
Well, don't worry about the name.
No. Anyway. And they're okay. So that was it.
So, do I understand that when you were at Taranto, the 1st Battalion of the Royal Sussex Regiment went to Salonika?
Yeah.
Without you?
Yeah.
So you came home not with the unit?
They joined me up at Taranto.
When they came back from Salonika?
Joined me up at...
Malta?
No. Naples, yeah.
So whilst they were in Salonika, you were in Italy?
Yeah, but they didn't stay there long. It was to do with the Albanians, I think. Because when I was in this hospital in Italy, they had a lot over, and they was complete animals. I didn't know what they were doing.
Who were animals?
The Albanians. They had trouble in Albania, didn't they? As they did. And they came into this. They were unwashed and everything. They were terrible people. And they wouldn't confirm with any thing. Their meals, or they wouldn't wash. So if you don't wash, no meals. And always with this leg, and with a few English people in there, I was in what's name in all the irons on. They used to recruit you to go and into the kitchens, see the things were being conducted right, and one thing and the other. See the Italians wouldn't pinch them too much, and all this business. But these Albanians come in there, they wouldn't wash or anything. Say, no wash, no breakfast. And the Red Cross come around with various little things like toothpaste and razors, things like that. So
where was this?
In Taranto, hospital, the... big hospital in Taranto.
Were these Albanian civilians?
Yeah, well, it appeared to be. I don't know what they were. But there was Germans in it. It was a mixed hospital. We had Germans, everybody in there. And the Germans, a lot of them was in a hell of a mess. So if they didn't confirm, you know, and they go and bang their head against the wall. So, right. If you want breakfast, you've got to wash yourself and all the rest of it, and they didn't. And so, right, give it to the Tedeschi. They call them Tedeschis, the Germans. So that was that.
Who banged whose head against the wall?
They did, their own. They used to go crazy, you know, these Albanians would go, terrible. And... oh, it was a terrible lot of people they were.
Which was the worst part of the war for you?
Well, the worst part, I would think, was Alhama. And Sidi Omar. Sidi Omar. And I'll show you a photograph of us go in there, but... Sidi Omar, that was the real shocker. That was the biggest first major thing. I've been in others, but this was a big major thing. And when this all happened, and then Alhama, that was terrible. Casino was terrible. Casino was terrible. But you think, you reflect to yourself, who the hell did you survive? I was extremely lucky, as I've said. So many of my friends was killed. And one of my big regrets that after I passed the signal course, I went back and joined my unit, and one of my friends who was doing signal things, but he wasn't fully qualified because all he did was answer the phone. He couldn't do Morse or anything like that. I relieved him, and the next action we got in, we got killed. And
so Eritrea wasn't the worst part of the war for you?
Not really, no. I mean, the elements here were terrible, but as far as conflict, no.
How do you feel now about having served with the Royal Sussex during the war?
Well, I suppose I feel I've done my bit and all the rest of it, not that I fully volunteering for it, but it was a part of the, considering my dad was killed in the army and all the rest of it, I suppose that's it. And I'm more than happy that I survived with all my luck.